They say plants like music.
Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndre, with Phil Goldberg. How are you?
What's up, buddy? What?
There's stuff going on. The New York Auto Show is getting kicked off. The press days were happening. There's some news coming out of there. And I was on YouTube catching up on some of your videos. You guys are moving along pretty good with the Cobra project. You know, the body looked good.
Where do I begin?
Well, you're documenting it, so we get to follow
more
along.
Than one thing going on at once, it just becomes a freaking nightmare, man. So you're just jumping. You know, we're trying to film one thing one day, we're trying to update another thing the next day. It's just, if I told you what we had, the process we had to go through to get the Willys and the Coronet drivable yesterday for the shoot, you wouldn't believe it. So, I mean, it's one thing after another. It is. Yeah. And everybody's asking about the Cobra updates, and it's at Expel right now, and it's going to take them probably 10 days to get it done. From what I was told, it's literally the most difficult car to wrap on the planet.
Which is, I mean, it makes sense when you explained it in the video, although it's such a tiny car, there's not a whole lot there, but yeah,
it's
just
the curves.
There's no straight edges. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even think about it. I mean, like that, the Cybertruck you've got in the garage.
Yeah.
That'd be the easiest one on the planet because there's no curves on it.
Right.
They're all flat panels. Right. And what I didn't realize, and it's logic, but I've got to put a stripe on the car because if you don't, you'll see the seam. Right. Uh-huh. There's nowhere for you to break up the wrap. Like zero. So I have to put a stripe on there just to wrap the car.
Yeah. Okay. Had they done one before? I'm curious if that.
Yes,
I mean,
they
done
did
some
one before and it was the president of Expels. And he was the one that went down there and brought his car and informed me that it was literally the most difficult car. You know, and I had thought that I had gotten it properly prepped, and after further review, there were 34 spots that needed to be wet sanded to prep it for Expel. So that took another 10 days, you know, to get people down there and just get it done. But I was completely flabbergasted that the Cobra is the hardest vehicle. But I mean, but taking it into consideration, yeah, I get it. How can you wrap those two back? I mean,
you know, we don't really have a lot of cars like that that have kind of the, you know, such the round fenders, like the old Ferrari Testarossa pontoon fender cars, where it's just so much shape and stuff to it, which is interesting because even on one of Corolla's Lamborghinis that Bodie Stroud was restoring years ago, he's like, hey, I'm working on this car. And he's like, these cars were just because they were handmade aluminum. He goes, the left side doesn't match the right side. And one headlight is kind of drooping down from the other headlight. It sort of has like a droopy, like a lazy eye going on or something. And he did a lot of work and he actually brought that car up to more of a, you know, a high end modern day spec. Like he straightened that car out. He goes, but it's not easy because that, you know, it was all handmade aluminum back in the day and it had
now you're talking about having to do Leno repair, right? Yeah, you know, having guys in there that can do metal work and custom fabrication and build anything and everything that you want. But yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, I couldn't imagine wrapping an XKE.
Right. Yeah. That's another good example. Yeah. You had one.
That would be, it wouldn't be nearly as difficult as the Cobra, but it'd still be harder than hell. I mean, there's just nowhere to break up the lines.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. And you can't really, it's even the door being so small, it still goes underneath. There's no like separate rocker panel that attaches on. It's all one piece. You know, it's one piece. Yeah.
I felt like shit. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'm so appreciative of everything that they do. And I deliver this car and I'm all smiles and everybody's like, oh God, no.
Yeah. No, I get it. You're like,
who gets the short end of the stick on this one, right?
So did they have thoughts on how long it needs to sit? Because when I watched the video, my first question was, it came from paint and I'm sure it was done well and it was heated, but is there a certain amount of time before you can wrap it? Or if you wrap it, then that's it, because maybe the paint's not going to get the air. It's not going to, because there's like gases and stuff coming off of it. You know, it has to sit for a little bit.
Yeah, there were a couple of people that commented on that. And I mean, it's popular opinion, I would imagine. And I mean, the experts know for sure it's like breaking an engine and putting 500 miles on it before you do burnouts.
Yeah.
Right. I just don't know. And varying opinion, but at the end of the day, the guys I'm going to listen to is Expel. You know, well, obviously much, you take into consideration what the paint guy says.
I mean, how much time between when they finish the paint and when Expel is actually going to start putting wrap on it?
I would say realistically, probably 3 weeks.
Yeah, that seems like it might be enough time.
Like plenty of time to me. You know,
it seems like plenty of time to me.
But again, let's digress. It's a kit car and it's a Cobra and it's. Yeah. I care only about the engine of that vehicle, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's not. If I have a blemish here or there because of I didn't wait an extra week for the paint, I don't give a flip. I mean, honestly, not on that car.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fine as well, because, you know, people have said too, they're like, hey, they're like, oh, when you get a brand new car, you know, don't wrap it right away. And I'm like, all right, well, let's think about that. Like when I ordered my Mach 1 from Ford's like, okay, it's done. And then it gets rolled out and then it gets loaded onto a truck and then it gets hauled over to the train tracks and it gets put on the train and then it switches trains. It comes to another train and then the dealer sits on it for a day.
There's no scenario where you're going to get the car within 48 hours of it coming off the assembly line.
Yeah.
So the steering process is going to take care of itself between transport and delivery.
Yes. Now, some of car companies, like you mentioned Tesla, although that's not painted, some companies are offering wrap from the factory. The Mustang, they have the several colors, and then you can get the gloss wrap or the satin wrap from the factory for, I don't know, it's like $3,000 deal. So they must be figuring something out as well. They must be at least testing a certain amount of time between when the body in white gets painted and then goes through assembly, by the way. It's painted basically first. And then how long does it sit before they need to wrap it? Do they they roll it outside with the stock of every other car, you know, just out there, get it some sun or something, let it air out, let gases expel from the, you know, from the paint and stuff. And then from there, how long to wrap it? Because if they're doing a factory wrap, I don't know. I don't know if anybody's ordered the car and go, hey, if you get the wrap, you got to wait 3 weeks. I'm like, okay, I get it. Sure. You got to wait 3 weeks. But you know what? Even when I did, like, I coated the floors here in the warehouse, you get some bubbles that come up, and it's the gases from it that are, you know, that come up through it. That's why so many of them have the texture or the flake that are in it, you know, because it helps break up the lines, gives you some traction, but also you don't notice the little air bubbles. If you do it smooth, like I kind of did mine, you can see a few bubbles in some areas. But I don't know. I think you've got enough time. 3 weeks seems like it would be enough time. But like you said, it's, you're going to wrap it and you're never going to touch that wrap or do anything, you know. And if you do, it's going to be like, I'm going to end up rebuilding the car, repainting the car or something. And that's, hopefully you're not going to get to that for decades.
Exactly. I mean, and again, I mean, it's not a show car. It's not my daily driver. It's a car that I'll take out every once in a while when I want to, you know, up my blood pressure.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not, I'm not seeking perfection by any stretch of the imagination on that car.
Yeah, but it'll be cool because you and I rode in it when you were out here. So it's a trip.
That thing, it's going to be a lot of fun, man. I'm really excited. A lot of people are excited for it. I just, like I say, I wish I could get stuff out there. I wish I could unilaterally finish everything. But yeah, it's like getting everything ready for SEMA every day of your life, right? I mean, I took on this project and I got three different projects going at once, right? And so it's tough with myself and one guy. It's real tough.
Yeah.
Right. And then taking every life into consideration, right? So I'm not gonna cry over spilled milk. I took it upon myself to do it. It's fun, man. I'll tell you what, yesterday, I got to tell you a little bit about yesterday. We took the Corvette out. I won't go into what we had to do to prep it just to get on the road. But the Willys, I've never taken it off road ever. And I've never really taken it on the highway or like a major road. I took it down my main street yesterday and I winded that sumbitch out.
Yeah.
And I got all of that 60 horsepower pumping, and that was the most ridiculous drive I've ever had. And I took the entire windshield and frame, everything off. So I'm going down the highway. I must be going 35.
Yeah.
I was gonna guess about 35. Bugs. I can't freaking see, but I got to tell you, it's the cheapest car. It's the least worked on vehicle. And I had the most fun of my life behind the wheel of a car yesterday, because after I took it off the highway, I brought it and off-roaded it here on the property. You know, we're digging a pond. And man, I had so much fun in that. It was absolutely ridiculous, but God darn it, that was so much fun, dude. I got to tell you. And I'm not, you know, and I've had the FJ40s throughout the years. I had three of them. I had Hummers. I've had everything that professed itself to be, you know, the rock crawling monster, right?
Yeah.
Sort of a custom, you know, Overlander or something, whatever the crawler. Man, this thing is ridiculously fun. I almost got launched out of it like three or four different times, but I had the biggest smile on my face. So I don't know the point, except for, man, take your shit out and drive it, because you don't know what you're missing. It was just so much fun, and a completely, completely opposite feeling of every single vehicle in my garage.
Yeah.
Right. I got 800 more horsepower in my daily drivers than I did in this thing yesterday, but I got to say it was more fun than anything I've ever driven.
And then what's going to be the plan for that?
There is no plan. The plan is just to use the shit out of it. Well, there is a plan. I have to install a roll bar because, I mean, it's extremely dangerous. Let's be perfectly honest, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's real. I'm going to do it. We're going to do a roll bar. We're going to fix the brakes a little bit. And then we're going to put a overdrive kit on it. And other than that, nothing, not a thing. I'm going to take it and go out and have fun and do what I did yesterday. I just want to be a little safer. I was inches away from wearing my football pads and my football helmet.
Yeah, probably not a bad idea.
Yeah, but all that's going to do is make, I don't know, prevent superficial wounds on my head when I roll it, right?
Yeah.
So it's just a death trap, but it was just so much fun. It was ridiculous.
How much do you think that thing weighs?
Like 2,100 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
105 horsepower or 105 foot-pounds of torque, 134 cubic inch four-cylinder in it. And it's just ridiculous. It's so rudimentary. And so if you go online, you can see a video of, I don't know, 6 to 8 servicemen back in the 40s, 50s. Yeah. Completely disassembling and reassembling a Willys in 3 minutes, right? And I mean, I could just go on and on about the vehicle. It was just so much fun and so basic, and the damn thing just starts right up and it goes, and it's a proven testament to why it was like an unsung hero of World War II. Man, are you kidding me? I mean, this thing was so reliable. They said it was soldier proof. If it's soldier proof, then the damn thing's reliable. You know, I don't know if it's Goldberg proof, but, and I know it took me more than 3 minutes to take the window frame off yesterday. So I felt pretty emasculated about that, but I'm just saying it was a blast. Absolutely a blast. And I watched Richard and everybody go out and do their monster rock crawling and their $100,000 vehicles, which is great. And it's something thankfully I haven't gotten into, but just scratch at the surface yesterday in this extremely rudimentary basic vehicle was so much fun. It just makes me want to crack up. So
when's the video going to be posted? Cause I haven't seen that thing in person. I'm curious.
Probably in 2 weeks.
Yeah. A couple of weeks. You guys got some work.
Yeah, and I took Jackson for the first ride. Jackson and I, when we went off road, I mean, he's got a bad back, right? And so just the expression on his face when I hit these holes out in the out off, it's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. So, by the way, I like Jackson. I've been watching him in the videos, and he's a good addition to the crew over there. And I know he's doing a lot of work for you.
He's a local guy. He's been, you know, he worked at dealerships for 10, 15 years back in the day, and he opened his own place. He's just a quiet dude, a really good mechanic, knows a lot, helps me out exponentially. I mean, I surely am not the biggest wrench in the world by any means, but we have a good time, man. I mean, we stayed up until 1:00 in the morning trying to tune the freaking six pack on the Coronet the other night just to get it out on the road. And we took it out and filmed it. But it paled in comparison to what the regular performance should be on this car.
Yeah.
But just to get it out. I mean, we changed the master cylinder, changed the fuel pump, did the entire brake system, took the carbs off, complete rebuild of the six pack, and then we didn't tune them. And then, as people know, that's probably the biggest obstacle with those
right.
is to getting them running right. We just got it on the road and roadworthy. And I took it. I couldn't even lay rubber in the damn thing. I mean, it just it loads up in the beginning, and but it comes on like third gear. I mean, the thing's crazy. But we just have to get it tuned. But getting it out on the road was just awesome. Considering I've had the car since 2008. And I put 20 miles on it, like literally 20 miles. Yeah. It's just not good for the car, if anything else. But just to take it out and get that feeling again was just killer, man. And it was like being reintroduced to a new car. That's what's so cool about the episodes, is that I'm showing people that I've got these cool cars, but I've got to get them ready to film. And so I have to actually do things that I've never done to them before in prepping them. And then it becomes another love affair with why I originally got the car. And then I start enjoying it, you know, from then on. So I've had the car and you know the feeling. You have these cars for a number of years. They're on a lift. It's a pain in the ass to move the car underneath it. You don't drive the car. It starts to deteriorate. And then, you know, you lose sight at actually as to why you originally got it. So if I've learned anything with this show, man, you got to drive your cars, because the feeling I got originally from purchasing the car was rekindled by driving it for the first damn time in 15 years and actually getting to. It's a lot different being able to get in a car and know you've gotten it up to snuff mechanically,
yeah,
than getting in a car and not knowing exactly what is going on and just taking it for a drive, because you don't really enjoy it. Once you have the feeling of the knowledge that it's ready to go, you can go out and have actual fun with it, like the reason why you bought it. So
yeah,
I'm just learning a lot about being a car guy again after actually working on these things and actually using them. So it's a whole different experience.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
I closed a deal yesterday. I sold the SAC Mustang, sold the Shelby
nice.
Car.
Congrats. Good job.
And thank you. And you're right. It's one of those things where it's like, I bought it as an investment car and I knew I wasn't going to be able to really drive it. But I've never done that before. And I don't know. I got to say, like, I don't think that made me happy. Yeah. And when I did drive it, you know, like 3 miles to like get it out and take photos of it again, I realized how much I really wanted to drive that car. So as I was getting like emotionally ready to sell that car, I was feeling like I shouldn't sell it. And then when I drove it and realized that I won't be able to drive it, even if I owned it, I got over the hump. I'm like, I should sell it and focus more on the cars that I'm building that I can drive. That I'm not worried about like its collectability or the miles or whatever. And now that it's done, I feel fine about it. You know, I feel fine about it. If there was is there a version of that car that I can buy one day and drive? Is there like do I care about the collectability? Like it's a thing. And I get it. Like you have both in the garage there and you have collectible cars, you know, that, and then you have the drive. You know, the cars that you drive. And I know you're kind of getting a little more into the driving and a little less into the collectibles because.
Oh, no, that's an understatement. That's not even a fair way to characterize it. I've got two vehicles right now that are in my garage because of investment. I've got the 2020 number one of the 501 Daytona Chargers.
Yeah.
It's got 6 miles on it that I'm never driving. And I've got the Lawman, but I'm going to take the Lawman out and drive it a tiny bit, right? I'm going to enjoy that.
Yeah.
But that's a different, that's a completely different category. You know, I mean, because I enjoy that car and it's for investment, but it's also a part of me. You know, I mean, it's.
But the Lawman, you can get.
I don't put that car in the same category as the Charger. The Charger is just over there. I've got another Charger. I don't feel bad about it at all. not one tiny bit about not driving it.
But the lawman you can fire up and drive. Like the mileage is a non-issue on that particular car, right? And it's all been restored.
Well, it is, and it's not because it's the original motor in there, though it's not the original heads. It's the original block. I mean, it's got 850 miles on it.
Well, on the car or the rebuild?
On the car. The rebuild's got probably a tenth of a mile.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Like literally, right. You know.
Yeah,
but the reality is this. Think about it. It's not like I'm going to get in that and drive it to Dallas.
Right.
Right. So the build of the car restricts the ability to actually drive it. So in all honesty, if I took that to every base on the planet or in North America and drove it down the tarmac, what? That's a quarter mile. That's a mile every time it started. I mean, you know.
Yeah, so it's a non-issue. But the point is you're right. It's like at any point, if you wanted to, you could hop in it and fire it up and drive it and not get in your head about how far am I going? What am I doing? What am I going to do to the value? So the Daytona is the only one that is off the table, basically. And you've got other ones there to
pick. And I'm obviously going to drive the 170. I drove the some bitch home in the rain.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I'm going to drive it. I'm going to take it down the drag strip. But it, again, is a vehicle that it's a drag car for me.
Yeah.
I've got other Challengers to take out on the road. Why would I ever drive that? You know, I may drive it to a show back and forth that's 12 miles from my house and 12 miles back. But the other mileage, and the only mileage probably that will ever be put on that car is down a drag strip.
Right. Yeah. Well, the Sakkar,
but it's the luxury of having different stuff, right? I'm extremely lucky to be in the situation I'm in. You're extremely lucky to have various cars for different purposes and reasons. And that's, you know, that's the luxury you have. If you had one, if you had two, it'd be a totally different story. But thankfully, we're lucky enough to have chosen the path that we've chosen, and we can pick and choose from what we have in our garage. So, but that's a luxury not too many people have. And I look at guys with these unbelievable garages and displays and vehicles on all social media and stuff, and they got one and they got two vehicles, and I'm like, God, it'd be unbelievably cool just to have two cars. You know, how cool would that be?
Yeah,
I mean, it'd be the two coolest freaking cars on the planet and the baddest two car structure ever built. You know, so I don't know. It's a give and take kind of thing. But
yeah. Shifting gears to new cars. There is some stuff coming out of the New York Auto Show. There's some. So far, we've been hearing news from Genesis of what they're doing. And Genesis has got their concept SUV. It's basically what the GV90 could potentially be.
They've been kind of quiet lately, haven't they?
You know, they've been doing, you know, the whole Genesis, Kia, Hyundai brands have been doing well. Like, we keep talking about the Kia EV9, which is the three-row EV. And this Genesis concept, let me see if I just share the screen, see if I can get a picture of it somewhere. So this concept that they debuted there is basically the Genesis version of the EV9. It's the more luxury version of it. Now, this one, especially when you get into the interior, is such a concept car that it's way over the top, but it's cool looking. Although
good looking vehicle from the you know.
Yeah, you know, the profile of it. I don't think the exterior is going to really change all that much. Now, when you start getting into the interior, they've been doing some pretty crazy over the top like concept car stuff, but they're trying to show the direction the vehicles can go in. And
speaking of direction, was that the driver's seat facing backwards?
You know, I think they swivel around. I think it makes it so so you could spin around and have sort of a conversation of sorts. You know, we look at these futuristic movies and people don't drive the cars. They sit in there like just passengers, autonomous cars, which we're so far away from that.
Thank God.
Yeah. Anyway, this thing seems kind of cool. But the part that was interesting was Genesis wants to do a high performance division. Now, the Kia, I'm sorry, the Hyundai Ioniq 5, there's the N version that Alistair and I saw at the LA Auto Show. And it was sort of the hot hatch version, 600 and something horsepower. It should be like 0-60 in under 3 seconds. It's an EV, but it, you know, like Recaro bucket seats. And we saw it in the car, and he and I were both like, of the entire LA Auto Show, that's the one we kind of want to just drive the most. Like, I just want to see how it is. I think it's all-wheel drive and kind of small. So it's cool. So Genesis announced a division that they're going to call Magma. I think it's Magma. I just immediately jumped to Austin Powers, liquid hot magma. So the Magma concept that they had a couple. I think one wasn't really slated for the US, but this one, the GV60, is. Now, the GV60, I think, is essentially the Ioniq 5 anyway. So they're doing...
It's like a cross between a Honda and a Lexus.
It kind of, yeah. Yeah, it is. I think the Ioniq 5 is like 600 horsepower. So this would probably get into that lineup somewhere around that same kind of performance deal. And you can see in the YouTube version of it, if you guys are listening to the podcast, there's a couple photos we can put up there as well. But yeah, it's just kind of an interesting, if you think about it from a brand strategy, it's like Lincoln went luxury and did okay, but when Cadillac started creating a performance division with their V series cars, it got a lot more attention. And those cars are the coveted cars now. And by the way, you grab one of the CTS-V with a manual, or God forbid you find one of the wagons with a manual.
Wagons with a manual.
You know, that's gold on Bring a Trailer these days, right? So those are cool vehicles. So for Genesis to go, hey, why don't we try to get into this a little bit? Let's see what we can do. Lexus did with the F cars, and now they have the F Sport line, which is not quite the full high performance version, but they're just trying to make it a little spicier over the base models, but it's not a full like M series or an AMG series. But I think if Genesis does it right, and if it's not just a rebadge and like fancier wheels and slightly stiffer suspension, if they really increase the performance, the handling performance, the horsepower, then I think they could be onto something. At the very least, it brings people to the brand, right? Like, it's always the high performance halo cars that help bring people to the brand.
We'll see if it's the right time for it, or if it's too late, or it's the beginning of something new. You know, I mean, you never know.
You know, they're getting it right now. The sales, you know, Hyundai, Kia, Genesis, they're all doing there. And I think Hyundai has their eyes wide open. They're going after Toyota as far as sales. They want to be a huge player out here, which is good. So, and then speaking of Lexus, I've been driving the Lexus TX. Let's see if I can grab the photos of it here. So Lexus sort of needed a new three-row large SUV. The GX that they had was on the full frame. It's a body on a full frame, and that came with quite a bit more weight, some good off-road capability, but quite a bit more weight and sort of an antiquated platform. And they didn't really have in the lineup now a large, comfortable three-row SUV in their lineup. And by the way, the huge front grille in the front, getting a little better. That big sort of predator mouth, that spindle grille that they called it, this is sort of getting away from that a little bit more and coming up with something that's not quite as aggressive, still massive, as you can see.
What's under the hood?
So So that's a good question. So there's going to be the TX, the TX F Sport, and what I'm driving is the TX 550H Plus, which is the plug-in hybrid version. It has a six-cylinder under the hood with electric motors and a hybrid system, and it's combined at 404 horsepower. It says they get up to 33 miles of range in EV only mode. I'm not quite getting, I think, the full 33 miles. I think it's a little less than that. Maybe it's just sort of the stop and go. Maybe I just don't have the regen, you know, turned on fully because I just started driving it. But it is something, and it is a nice vehicle, and it is a comfortable vehicle. And some of the things that you would expect from Lexus that they're getting right is, first of all, Lexus, you know, the Toyota brand has been doing hybrid, seems like, longer than anybody. The start-stop feature, and in this particular case, the shift between the electric motors to it firing up the gas engine is seamless. You don't really hear it happen. You don't feel it happen. It doesn't jar the car around, and they do such a nice job getting that to happen, which is interesting because I just drove the Tundra, and the Tundra has the IMAX system with their hybrid and the electric motors on the transmission, and that thing was loud. But I don't know how they're kind of getting it wrong there. But on this car, completely seamless. You never really know which mode you're in, and that's fine. You hate that start stop feature at every stoplight, right? But this just goes into EV mode, and it starts moving forward. You can plug it in, you can run on EV, you can run on the gas engine, and then the gas engine can charge the battery as well. You can tell it to charge. There's different modes on the center console allow you to do it. And it's quiet. Like how they're getting this done with the lack of wind noise, great sound deadening, maybe some putting the car in the wind tunnel and just figuring out between the windshield and the mirrors and how to just keep it quiet is they're nailing that as well. Now, it's not
I'm the devil's advocate here because none of these companies entrust me with driving their vehicles. They're spending way too much time on the wind efficiency and not nearly enough time on the front half of that vehicle.
Right. Yeah. So
my question is with the V6 in there, why is the front end so gigantically enormous? And I'm not talking about the grill. I'm talking about from the windshield forward. It just, maybe it looks like that in the pictures, but
yeah. And I have it outside. It's a big vehicle, but you realize like, what could they do with the proportions? Like how do you make it a three row, SUV with all of these features? And then, because the one that I'm driving, the 550, that's the six cylinder. The other ones have, I believe, a 2.4 four cylinder. So unless they're jamming more stuff under the hood that has to do with the electronic drivetrain, then I'm not exactly sure. I haven't even popped the hood of it to kind of see what's going on.
I'd be really curious to see inside that hood.
Yeah. Now, that being said, it's nice. It's comfortable. The hybrid system overall, pretty decent gas mileage for something this large. It's, I don't know, 27, something like that, 27 miles per gallon combined. And a feature that I kind of found that I liked that I haven't really seen before, and I'm sure if there's something out there, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a heads-up display, and the steering wheel controls allow you to change some of the things on the heads-up display. And on your left and right hand, you can change the temperature in the car, right? And I noticed for the air conditioning, you couldn't change the fan speed, but you could change the temperature. And if it's an auto mode, you can lower the temp, it'll increase the fan speed, and raise the temp, it'll lower the fan speed. And it comes up on the heads-up display. And the other side changes windshield wipers, right? And there's menus in there that you can shift. So they're more use excuse me, more use of the heads-up display and more control over it with just the steering wheel controls, which is...
I think we're that's going to lead ultimately to everything on the heads-up display and no dash. Well,
I mean, possibly, like, you know, we have the Cybertruck here, which we got listed on Bring a Trailer, by the way, and everything's on the screen. This still does have some analog buttons. It has dials on the 14-inch screen for the air conditioning. It has a volume knob. It does have some controls that we want, but I guess having it available, if you're just driving and focusing and you get used to using it on the heads-up display and you're... It's an interesting feature. It's just something I haven't really seen before. And I was thinking, not bad, you know. Now, as you get into the car and you realize it's there and you're figuring it out, you're sitting there going, it would have been easier for me to stick my hand out and turn the volume or turn the AC knob on the screen.
It's cool to have it available. And I have to be honest with you. I mean, as a consumer, I paid 10 grand for the luxury package. And all I honestly wanted was the ability to have the heads up display.
Yeah.
Because it's huge for me. It's a game changer. It's fantastic.
Once I got used to the heads up display in vehicles, I started using it, and every vehicle that has it, I make sure it's on. I'm happy with it. I'm fine with it. And I could kind of focus and see through it like you're supposed to.
Yeah. And you know, I don't know how the versions differ, but I mean, I've got directions on my heads up display.
Yeah.
You know, in the RAM.
Yeah. It's doing that as well. It's
perfect.
It's sort of mimicking that. So if you hook up Apple CarPlay, but then you shift away from that screen to get to your radio or Sirius XM, it's still giving me more directions. And a few cars have been doing this either on the gauge cluster LCD or in the heads up display. But anyway, the vehicle's kind of cool. If you're looking for a luxury 3-row, Lexus is stepping up their game. Now, to get into the big 550H plus, you're starting at about $78,000. But if you want one of the lesser models, I think it starts in somewhere in the 50s. So you have to kind of figure out what you want to do there. But I don't think the lesser models, like the 350 version, is a hybrid. If you want the hybrid, you're going to have to pay the premium for it. But anyway, it's just interesting to get behind the wheel of that. It's new for Lexus, and they kind of need it in their lineup. After a lot of back and forth, a lot of discussion, we got the Cybertruck listed on Bring a Trailer. There's a lot of opinions about the Cybertruck in general. A few comments about, you know, should you sell it? Should you not sell it? So just to be clear, this is not my vehicle. I was selling it for a friend and we got it listed up here. It's the first Cybertruck listed on Bring a Trailer. There's a few days left on the auction as you're listening to this. And we're already at 333 comments. If you look at some of the statistics on it, a lot of views and watchers, almost 40,000 views and 3,500 watchers on it so far. So
I know I may mention that out here in Texas, a number of them have been sold. What was the latest price that you saw on the most current sale?
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
You know, somebody posted recently that two sold at auction, and I don't recall it wasn't a big auction that I was familiar with, somewhere in the 190 range. One was listed on Cars and Bids. It got up to 158,000 and was a no sale at 158.
I think if I'm not mistaken, you know, though the two that were here were over 200.
Yeah, so that was the thing is Meekum had one that was a no sale at 200. The owner turned down 200, which is weird. I'm not even quite sure how high they thought they were going to go. And then I saw there's a bunch online, by the way. There's like 20 listed on various websites mm-hmm. online, and they're ranging anywhere from like 185 to 220. And I think the 190 to 200 range was sort of what people were trying to get for it. Honestly, I think that's coming down as more of these are getting delivered. That's coming down a little bit, but you know, we've got one here. I drove it and it certainly is interesting. And if you want one and you want it now and you don't want to wait, then here it is. It's available.
What's the MSRP?
So I believe this one, this foundation series stickered at 101,000, and you know, when you're in it for tax and everything, so the buyer is in it for 111,000, right? And obviously he wants to get some amount to make it worthwhile of getting it listed.
Oh yeah, sold, don't we all?
You know, and then paying a tax on that profit. You know, you just kind of want to make it work. And I get it. Listen, some people want these things right away, in which case, you know, that's why it's here and it's available. And in some cases, companies are trying to get them because they're doing development on them or doing SEMA builds or trying to, you know, build racks and tents and all kinds of systems for it, and then it makes sense, a business case going, maybe you should jump on one of these. And because if you weren't able to borrow one and measure it, or if you weren't able to order it and get it in time, and certainly if you're a company developing products for it and you ordered the three motor version, the Cyber Beast, or I think it's going to be called, that's still not coming out for a while. That's not even delivered yet. And that's what Edmunds ordered. So Edmunds, when they did their initial tests, they had to find one to rent from somebody or borrow or something to do their initial reviews on, because they ordered the three motor version. So this is kind of same deal. Is like, if you ordered a three motor version and you're doing some parts development, well, here's a two motor version you can get now, and then I guess sell it later when your three motor comes in, if that's what you're doing. But anyway, it's interesting, and it's for sale, and I'm ready to get it out of my garage because it's taken up a lot of space. All right, I think we're gonna wrap it up. I've got another call to get on, but what are we missing? What else is coming up next? What's in the queue for the YouTube channel? I know you guys were filming a lot, but now it's got to be edited and put together. And
yeah, you know, we did the NASCAR race at Bristol. That'll be one coming up. We've got the Demon 170 coming up. The one-on-one, the
wheelies,
Green Machine.
Yeah.
Color, which is just beautiful. We got the Willys, we got the Coronet, we got a TRX on the horizon, and we got lots in the can. So
let me ask you real quick on the 170, the Green Machine. That was one of the special order ones where they paid the premium and they custom paint it to match. Does it look like the other FA Green one, or I mean, and but not just in color shade, but in quality. This is all like when they, for that price, do they color sand it? And is it a show car that paint on that thing?
I wouldn't
I
say
mean, every it. New I car has like some
it,
orange.
It blue. Looks much different than the other vehicles coming off the lot, except for the fact that it's the only one painted in that color. I don't know if the quality of it was much better.
Yeah.
You know, per se, but it is distinctly different than the F8. And I need to get both of them outside and take pictures next to each other, but it's completely different.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Don't get me wrong.
I can't wait to see it.
F8 is my favorite color, but this has got a, it depends on how you look at it. It's got a brown, like a gunmetal, a gold, all on top of the F8. So it's distinctly different, but it is no way. Pimp my cover, okay? The guys made me a custom cover for the new 170.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they took it from a picture of the F8 2018, and it's not even close. So I had to send them a file photo of the swatch, you know? And they're like, whoa, Jesus, sorry. That's completely different. And obviously no one's going to have that swatch.
Yeah.
Like nobody. Dodge probably isn't going to even put them out. I'm sure there's pictures of them somewhere and I've got one right here, but you know, where, what are you going to do? Call Dodge and say, can I have a swatch of that one of one color? I mean, yes, ultimately they'll get you one, but it's not a readily available, you know, tangible product you can have in your hand. So yeah, it's completely different.
Yeah, and I'm curious.
Matter of fact, I'll get the swatches for the next show, and I'll show you them next to each other. They're not even close.
Yeah. Anyway, it'll be cool to see. I can't wait to see the video on that as well. All right, buddy. We're gonna wrap things up. I appreciate it. Thank you, and we'll be looking forward to that on the YouTube channel. And like we said, you guys, if you want to check out these podcasts on YouTube, they're getting posted up there as well. Yeah, just to see our mugs while you're listening to it. Otherwise, enjoy the podcast. It's all good.
Got some cool stuff coming up with MagnaFlow and some installs. We got some local kids that come in and do some welding work on some exhaust for us. It's nice. Gonna be pretty neat, man. Some fun stuff.
All right, guys, until next time, keep the air and the spare, the bag and the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Here you are, BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.